I have to find out. Does James Harden know what time it is? Because he rolled back the clocks, what, 5 years? Brendan Whitted, swarmandsting.com, Bison Express. He joins us on the Adam Gold Show. Was that, did I see that? Does he know it's 2023 and that he's supposed to be just the distributor now?
It was, it's really actually really nice to see him play well in the playoffs. He's caught a lot of slander. Some of it from me. Because he hasn't been particularly good in those spots, particularly when he had to be the lead guy. Embiid's down. Obviously, that was going to mean more of the share of the shots go to him. And as you mentioned, this guy was the assist leader this year.
Yep.
So that is not a role that he's fulfilled. You had Maxey on his team, you got Tobias Harris, you have Embiid, who's the leading scorer. There wasn't going to be enough shots to go around if he took his normal quotient. And instead, he transformed his game. Mm-hmm. He transformed his body, too. I think that was a really, really big thing. Like, he came into the season as healthy and as kind of in shape as I have seen. I'm sure Houston Rockets fans absolutely love to see him walk into a season actually in shape.
Yeah.
But, like, it's impossible for me to divorce those two things. Like, if you come in shape like that, and now in the postseason, after playing those 82 games, that you're still playing at this sort of level, I think that there's a correlation there. I think sometimes when he wasn't playing great in the postseason, it was in part because he hadn't necessarily taken that offseason as seriously. And you hear the players that play deep into the season, you hear LeBron talk about it, Tatum talk about how just exhausted he was at the end of last year because that was his first time going to the finals. You have to kind of put in that work beforehand, even as talented as he is. And you got to see the full display from Harden last night.
Here's the thing. When, you know, you go back 5 or so years, and maybe we forget now, I don't know. And he's one of the historically great individual offensive players that we have ever seen. I hated his game. I hate his game. But the transformation that he has undergone to work within what the Sixers need him to do to allow to feed Embiid and get other guys involved has been great to see. And it's cool that he was able to summon some of the old James Harden when they needed it. So now they win game one in Boston. Does it allow them to rest Embiid in game two, knowing you got what you accomplished, what you really set out to do by getting one of the two in Boston, and maybe you get closer to having, you know, the best version of Embiid for games 3 and 4 back in Philadelphia?
I've seen a lot of that float around, and I understand the impetus behind it. I'm not a fan of like, oh, it doesn't matter. We got our one. You need four. Right. And we just saw in the Golden State Sacramento series, just because a team has been good or bad on the road doesn't mean that's necessarily going to translate for the rest of that series. Golden State was as bad as any team has ever been going into the postseason on the road. And they ended up winning twice in the hardest place to win during the regular season in Sacramento. Like, if he's healthy enough to play, even if he can only give you 15 minutes, because that they were very, very close to losing that game. Like, there are some – so – His impact was felt in terms of him not and Embiid not being there was felt on both sides of the ball. One, Celtics were getting anything they wanted to in the paint. If they were able to bypass that first level of defense on the perimeter, Tatum, Brown, they were just making forays right into the cup because they don't have any other rim protectors. And so I think they scored 60-plus points in the paint last night. On the other end, and part of the reason I think Harden has so much success is because they could play that sort of five-out structure because there wasn't Embiid sitting in the middle of that, sitting in the middle of the lane, kind of taking up some of that space that he maybe normally would have. I know he's a capable 3-point shooter, but he does do a lot of his work in the mid range and in the high post, and that wasn't the case there. And Harden was able to use and kind of take it back to that Houston stuff. We mentioned Houston twice. It's also important to recognize he only had 4 free throw attempts. Whenever I would talk about, you know, him not being aesthetically pleasing to watch, it was because he was foul hunting. He wasn't last night. He was just going out there and getting it, whether it was the step back, whether it was beating guys off the dribble and finishing. He was just doing whatever was necessary because they needed him to, because Maxey, who probably is their second or their third best scorer or second best without Embiid, just didn't have it in the efficiency sort of category that he normally does.
Real quick, Boston probably feels like they let that one go. They had the lead late. Did Malcolm Brogdon get an assist on the Maxey layup that made it, that gave Philadelphia the lead? I'm just curious.
felt like Georgetown accidentally passing to Worthy or something at the end of that 82 Sorry. National Championship. But like,
Freddie Brown says hi.
Yeah, exactly. But it was weird because I thought if there was going to be one of the teams that struggled late in terms of execution, I thought it'd be the team without the league's leading scorer. I didn't think it would be the fully healthy Boston Celtics, and there were some really bad possessions there late. And you mentioned the one, even if he doesn't pass it directly to Maxey, they're going to get a 24-second shot clock violation. They just, no one seemed to have any sort of idea what was going on. You don't expect that from a veteran team like that.
I don't expect, especially against the Philly team. I could be wrong here. I don't see Philly as a lockdown defensive team. The numbers may say otherwise. It just don't, to me, that's not necessarily their identity. But we'll see what happens with game two if Embiid is coming back. Let me talk about game two, and we're talking with Brendan Wood at swarmandsting.com. So the Nuggets take game two. That was an uglier game, a little bit more of a grinder game. But in the end, I know he's not going to win the MVP. I'm pretty sure it's going to be Joel Embiid. But Nikola Jokic was everything in the third quarter. I mean, really the second half for Denver as they kind of overcame themselves to beat Phoenix.
Yeah, that was kind of an ugly game. That was not something that I expected. It felt like kind of one of those 90s NBA final sorts of games because it was neither team, I don't think either team broke 100. I have to double check if somebody did late. But
97-87.
Yeah, that was it. And so, like, the first half, both teams were really struggling to score. The Suns, man, they don't have anything off of that bench.
Nothing.
And you know, I think they went 2-17 from the bench. And they needed more. And I'm honestly surprised we didn't see T.J. Warren. I know he hasn't been a big part of this squad since he got on there. But if you're going to if you're struggling to score like that, Damian Lee goes 0-5. The backup point guard
Cameron Payne.
He really struggled. He was 1-7. Like, if you can't get scoring from anywhere else and you just got T.J. Warren sitting there, there's no reason to have him on the court if you're not going to do it. I know he has his troubles on defense. But, like, I would be surprised, particularly if Chris Paul can't play and now Payne's going to have to start. I don't know what – I haven't seen any updates on his injury. But, like, I would suspect – I don't know if they're going to give an over-under for him for next game, but I would hit the over because he's going to put at least a few shots up because they've got to have something else because it can't just be Devin Booker kind of playing the way he's played, which has been phenomenal. They need more than that. They need KD, and they need to emphasize Ayton more because I think he's got to be utilized a little bit more than just if he's not open on the initial pass to a role, they just don't look for him.
Brendan Woodard is joining us here, swarmandsting.com. Here's the thing about the Suns. Charles Barkley said it and inside the NBA the other day as I was watching it. And before the series, the Suns were a pretty big favorite to beat Denver in this series, in spite of the fact the Nuggets are the best record in the West and have home court advantage. And Barkley came on after game one and goes, I just do not see how the Suns can stay with Denver. Like, he was basically declaring the series over after the home team won game one. And he said, I just don't know where the points are coming from. If it's not Booker and Durant, there are no points. And I think it's interesting that Chris Paul injured his own groin when he usually injures other people's groins. I just had to fit that in. I apologize to those people who don't like to hear that. But, I mean, is that fair? Because Denver's got a bunch of guys they can go to.
Yeah, that felt like a low blow on Chris. But,
sure did.
Yeah, there you go. you're 100% right. Like, they sacrificed some of their depth making that Kevin Durant trade. So if you've got just a starting five, like even under the best of circumstances, even if Payne had scored well, there's just not going to be much coming from that end. You're talking about Bismack Biyombo. Wainwright. You're not talking about a ton of offensive talent. Nope. And I think that's part of the reason I thought Ayton has to play a bigger role. You're asking too much of your perimeter players to always be incredibly efficient on top of the score. And that's really their only way to go about this. What was interesting to me is how they were playing the pick and roll, depending on who the ball handler was, how Denver was playing it. They were in that drop coverage versus CP, and then they were either doubling or just hedging out versus Book or KD when they did that. I thought that was a real mistake I thought Chris Paul, the only thing that he has left is really that mid-range game. He's not finishing at the cup like that. Going into last night, he was averaging one free throw a game. He was shooting 29% from three. Really, the only thing that he's going to give you is the mid-range, and that's what they were giving up. And for a while in that third quarter, that's what was sustaining their offense.
Right.
I'm surprised to hear that I hadn't checked that number before they played. I'm surprised to hear that the Suns were favorite. I'm assuming that bettors are just doing a thing with big names, right? Because, you know,
yes,
if you look at it on the other side, Aaron Gordon is not a huge name. Yes, if you follow basketball, you know him. But once you get past Jokic, Jamal Murray has been injured and has come back this year, but, you know, is it, again, he's not Devin Booker, he's not Kevin Durant. These aren't the big time names like that. Even Michael Porter Jr., you know, he's a guy that's been often injured. Only had 5 points last night and still outscored the Phoenix bench.
They only scored 97, and yeah, Jokic had 39 of them. All right, final thing. Got a couple of minutes here. Thoughts on, I mean, two historically great. Mount Rushmore is four, so I'm not even like I'm not trying to do this, but you're talking about two of the names. You say LeBron, you say Steph. You don't need anything else. Going up against each other for the fifth time in their playoff careers, what are you thinking about when you flip the TV on tonight?
One of the greatest rivalries the sport has ever seen. It's Magic and Bird. I don't know if Jordan has one guy that you would look at. Maybe Isaiah. I don't know, but the fact that we've gotten the pleasure to see these guys go head up to, I think, the two best players at their positions, point guard and small forward, that have ever played basketball, I'm really going to enjoy it. I hate rooting against Steph because he's, you know, North Carolina. He is.
Yep.
I told you after Jimmy went for 56, I was like, the only guy I love to see get it going more, and we saw in that Sacramento game, is when Steph is just lights out, unstoppable. He was in game seven, 50 points, most points ever scored. And then LeBron, man, like LeBron hasn't had that game yet. And I think it's there somewhere. And they're going to need it this series if they're going to beat Golden State. But I think this goes seven. Like, that's what I'm hoping for. All right, I like to be the analyst, but the fan is still in me. I want seven. I want game seven. I want LeBron. I want Steph. I know they're not going to be matched up on one another that frequently, but I don't care. I want to see this. I want to see all of it.
Yeah, I do too. Historically, it's going to be incredible theater. They obviously have tremendous respect for one another.
Yeah.
I like the Lakers. I don't think this is a long series. I don't see where Golden State's getting offense from. Klay is way too inconsistent for me. It's 100% about Steph. I think the Lakers have been doing this really without LeBron being the offensive guy. And if something is triggered and LeBron's offense shows up, I mean, I think we could be talking about this in five games. But you know, I don't see it going beyond six.
The player to watch is Looney. Looney outplaying Sabonis was something that I did not see coming. 11-21 in that game seven, but he out rebounded the top rebounder in the league who had played at least 60 games.
Three 20 rebound guys. Three 20 rebound games. He was amazing.
He's amazing. Yeah. Like, and the extra possessions, you can't give this team extra possessions.
Yep.
And I wonder if Golden State, there were times where they were just really loose with the ball, and I know we're kind of used to that with the Warriors. But when that pace drops, as it's going to in this Lakers series, I wonder if those turnovers drop too, and they get a little bit more efficient on offense. Like, that's what I'm really looking for. Are they going to be able to take care of the ball, and what those rebounding numbers going to look like?
As I play both sides of the fence here at the beginning of the playoffs, I picked the Warriors to win the West. But having seen both teams play right now, I think the Lakers are the better team. And you ultimately are going to be right, man. The Lakers are going to end up in the NBA Finals, Brendan.